Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
What is up, all you fancy little fable babies, and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. I am your suave and dib owner host, Will Lactose-Tolerant McFadden, and I am here to tickle your ears with the greatest stories on the interwebs. Except today, I'm not getting the stories from my usual hunting grounds, i.e. YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, or the hot tub at the Howard Johnson's just off the interstate. That place is a gold mine for weird stories. No, but today I am getting the stories from the most important people in the world. You guys! So, get excited because we've got another hot set of listener tales coming your way. So let's dip our little toes into the first story from our dear friend, Tony Maddox. And if you're a true fable baby who listens all the way through the credits, then you'll know that Tony is our sound designer. And for those of you listening right now who are thinking, hey, he's not a listener, he works for the podcast, that's bullshit. Well then shut up and check yourself, because I can guarantee you nobody has listened to this podcast more than Tony. He's basically fable baby patient zero. So while you enjoy this tale from Tony, I'm gonna go check the mail. And by check the mail, I mean literally check the mail.
I grew up in a smallish town in West Virginia called Parkersburg. Well, by most standards, it's a small town. But by West Virginia standards, it's actually a pretty big one. But still small nonetheless. And in small towns, you have, we'll say, limited cultural opportunities. You know, we had like an actors guild, and we'd occasionally get some concerts through town, like the Oak Ridge Boys or Lee Greenwood, I think, performed. You know, we had this honeybee festival every once in a while, and this guy would come and have like a beard of bees, and that was, you know, that was pretty big doings in Parkersburg. You know, our biggest celebrity sighting, we had a deer broke into our high school once. That was big stuff. But, you know, by and large, if you wanted to do something culturally enriching, you'd have to travel to Pittsburgh or Charleston, West Virginia, or Morgantown, West Virginia. We would do that. My parents were really good about it, taking me and later my brother when he was born to as much as they could around Parkersburg. And one time, when I was, this was before my brother was born, one time they took me to the circus. And it was not in Parkersburg, but we had to travel to Charleston, West Virginia, to get to the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. Now, at the time, it was just me and my parents, but my grandparents came to visit. They lived in a teeny... Now, this was a truly small town called Brownsville, Pennsylvania. It may not even be there anymore. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, they came to visit and drove... It was about a three-hour drive. Probably stayed overnight or for the weekend. They would come and visit for the weekend sometimes. So they came to go to the circus, too. And the day of the circus came... And we all, it was me, my mom, who was 4'11", but like 7 feet tall in attitude. My dad, who is just a really, really patient, tolerant man, as the story will probably reveal. My grandfather, who was a bit of a prankster, he liked to teach me dirty songs, you know, dirty jokes when I was little, and then I'd go and tell them to my grandmother and my mother, and they'd freak out. And then my grandmother, who was a little more serious, you know, she was still a riot, though. She was like a bingo dynamo. She would play like every Friday night at the Sons of Italy, and every week she would say that it was fixed and that they were weighing down balls, or, you know, certain people were getting certain special cards or whatever. And but, you know, she still went. So I don't know. Anyway, so they had come to visit, and we all piled into the station wagon. Now in the, this would have probably been, I was born in 76, so this would have been probably 1980 or so. Let's just say the safety standards were a little different. It wouldn't be uncommon for you to maybe not have a seatbelt on at all, or maybe not even be in a seat. Maybe perhaps be sitting in the back of the station wagon facing backwards and just kind of rolling around and moving around of your own volition. Now, I don't remember. I cannot lie about this. I don't remember if I was sitting in the back, but if I wasn't, I guarantee I was sitting in the middle of the back seat between my grandparents. And chances are I probably didn't have a seatbelt on, because for some weird reason, my mom had this aversion to seatbelts. I can't really explain it. She said she had an aunt who almost died in a car wreck because she had a, you know, she would have had a seatbelt on, she would have died. I don't know. It's a sketchy, whatever. There were no laws at the time. Well, no seatbelt laws. There were laws. It wasn't like Mad Max or anything. But I don't know. People were just a little more casual with the safety of their kids in those days, I guess. So we drove to Charleston. It's about, probably about a, if I remember correctly, about a 2-hour drive from Parkersburg to Charleston. And, I'm sure as we drove on the way there, my mom and my grandmother talked a whole bunch. My dad probably didn't say much. My grandpa probably kept me entertained. And that was probably the car ride. Now, I take it back. That probably wasn't the car ride. Because knowing my grandparents, we probably had a giant cooler full of sandwiches and Faygo soda, or as we called it, pop, in that part of the country. And we probably stopped and ate on the way, or ate soggy sandwiches on the way or something, because that seemed to happen a lot growing up. We wouldn't buy the food on the way. We'd take it with us and eat it on the way. And yeah, it seems like a very 80s, 70s, 80s thing that people don't do as much anymore. But I don't miss the soggy sandwiches, but I do kind of miss the concept of it. Anyway, so we got to the circus and we pulled up and parked, and I remember the sawdust and the smells of animals, and I remember the smell of funnel cakes, which actually makes me feel sick, because when I was a kid, not on this trip, but at another, I don't think it was a circus, but it was at some sort of festival, I ate a funnel cake and barfed, and to this day, whenever I smell them, all I can think of is throwing up in a trash can that smelled like vinegar and had bees all over it. So, yay, funnel cake. So this was a circus under the big top, which means they had the big giant tent, and it was set up right there in the parking lot of the Civic Center. I guess they had shipped in a whole bunch of sawdust to put down to catch all the animal poop, and I assume they sweep it back up. Not sure, though. Maybe it just sits there until the next circus comes and sets up. I remember people going up through a midway and heading toward the tent. They had some games set up and some barkers. Just like you imagine. I mean, this I know circuses aren't really around anymore, but if you've ever seen one in the media, it's pretty much exactly like that. That's one thing they've never really had to fudge to make it look better or worse. The circus is pretty much the circus. It's a very surreal, visceral, kind of earthy crowd. It looks like a really tough life when you walk past the barkers, because I mean they travel constantly, they have to take care of animals, they're probably, you know, not. I mean, I imagine if you're in the circus, there's a reason, unless you're in like Cirque du Soleil, which this is nothing like in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, so yeah, I remember people kind of walking toward the big tent and going in, and there were wooden risers with seats, and we took our seat. Three rings, very confusing, very hard to watch a circus. That's my biggest complaint about circuses, is that they're a little bit overwhelming. There's three things going on all at once, a lot of them involving animals that look very unhappy, or clowns that are a little creepy, or, you know, just people flinging themselves about fire and animal poop, and just, it's just chaos. I don't really remember. You know what I really do remember the most about the circus? Everybody had these little souvenir flashlights that they were like police spinners on a flashlight, and they were blue or red or white or whatever, and you could take them and spin them around, and they would like sling around and make cool light. And I remember probably wanting one and not getting one. And not because my parents or grandparents didn't spoil me. I'm not saying that, Dad, if you're listening. No. It's more because they were a little more practical than that. I think if I remember, I did go home with a balloon. But that's not important to this story. What's important is we got there and we got some snacks. And what better for a circus than popcorn? So we got a big tub of popcorn, probably got a couple of drinks, and we went to our seats and we sat down. So here's the order we were sitting in. My mom was sitting at the end, and she was in the middle of the row. My grandmother was next to my mother, I was next to my grandmother, my grandpa was next to me, so I was between my grandparents, and then my dad was on the other end, on the aisle. So to recap, it was my mom, my grandma, me, my grandpa, and then my dad on the aisle. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Maddoxes. Then finally, the circus started. I do remember some elephants and some tigers and some loud noises. I mean, they blasted someone out of a cannon, and I was not a big fan of loud noises when I was a kid. So I'm sure I probably cried. I cried at everything when I was a kid. Birthdays, Christmas, this Garfield TV special where they took Odie to the pound and I thought they were going to put him to sleep. I was kind of a weenie. So we're watching the circus. It's happening. You know, the clowns are clowning and the animals are animaling and everything's happening. And we start passing this giant bucket of popcorn back and forth. So it starts with my grandma. She takes some, she eats it, hands it to my mom. My mom takes a handful, hands it to me. I take some, hand it to my grandpa. He takes a little bit, hands it to my dad. And then my dad takes some. And then we just pass it right back down the line again to my grandpa, to me, to my grandma, to my mom. Back and forth. Kind of like a trapeze. Well, eventually, as we're passing it back and forth, I start hacking and coughing on a popcorn kernel. Because, as you know, they can get stuck on the back of your tongue. And I had a hair trigger gag reflex. I still do. If I start gagging, it's game on. I mean, I'm probably going to puke. It's terrible. But I was definitely going to puke when I was a kid. And so, the popcorn is coming my way, and I grab it, and of course, bleh. Right in the popcorn. So, my grandmother sees this happen. And she takes the bucket and she hands it to my mom and says, "Anthony just threw up in the popcorn." And my mom's like, hand it to John and he can put it at the end of the row. So my grandma hands it to me. I hand it to my grandpa, who starts to stick his hand in it. But my grandma stops him and says, no, Lou, don't do it. Anthony just threw up in the popcorn. So my grandpa doesn't eat it. But then he hands it to my dad and doesn't say a word. My dad sticks his hand in, grabs a huge handful of popcorn and puke, and it goes right down the hatch. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the circus. Now, I want to point out, I don't remember my dad freaking out or getting sick or reacting in any way. I mean, to be honest with you, I can't say that I would have had the same reaction. One thing's a given, I would have barfed in the popcorn. because, I mean, just the thought makes me a little queasy. But, yeah, he's the most calm, zen person I've ever met, and I really admire him for that. But, yeah, that is the only time I really remember going to the circus as a kid, and it turns out that my family was the freak show.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
OM. Jesus titty fucking Christ, I love you guys so freaking much. I love you almost as much as dipping French fries in ranch dressing. And you know what? It turns out that you love me too, because I just checked the mail and I have gotten exactly 3 pieces of fan mail this season, which is 3 more pieces of fan mail than I got last season. All right. I'm so excited. I'm going to dig into this first letter right now. Okay, let's see what we got here. Dear Will, we value you as, aw, you guys value me? Oh, wow, I don't think anyone's ever said that to me, and I didn't know I needed to hear it until this very moment. Okay. Dear Will, we value you and consider you a very important member of our Corn Hub team. Okay, oh, all right, well, never mind. This is just my Corn Hub bill. Corn Hub with a C. Corn Hub. If you don't know what Corn Hub is, well, it's like this, it's this cool monthly corn subscription service where they send you a few corn cobs a week with fun new recipes to try out. And you guys all know how much I love corn on the cob. And I guess, well, corn loves me right back. So I guess I did a little accidental fib earlier and I only received 2 pieces of fan mail, which is also totally okay because it's still 2 more pieces of fan mail than I received last season. So that's okay. Okay. It's definitely okay. Okay. Well, you know, why don't we just launch into our next story from Juliana Mora about her super sus bagel boss while I continue to think about how okay it is.
So this story takes place my sophomore year of college. Of course, being the broke college student that I was, I pushed myself to get a job somewhere else because I wanted to spend all the money I would make at this job to get drunk on the weekends. I ended up getting a job at a local bagel shop near campus, and it was a hot spot for all the students, so I thought it'd be the perfect place to make great tips, meet some new people, and just vibe. But boy, was I wrong. Firstly, the hours. I assumed it would be early hours, like breakfast time, but no, our shift started at 4:30 in the morning, and I'd have to be up by 4, drive there in the cold, the sun wouldn't even be up yet, and just the morning cold and no light was just a recipe for depression. And driving to a job that requires you to butter bagels and flip eggs and make coffee for assholes who haven't had their caffeine fix yet was a different type of torture. There'd be eggs cracking on the floor, I'd find cream cheese in my cuticles, I'd have to scrub microwaved eggs out of plastic containers, I'd find poppy seeds in my ass, bagels would catch on fire and I would burn my hands every day. There was no type of ventilation and it smelled like cream cheese constantly. And because it was a college campus, every ex I ever had would come in daily for their coffee while I was sweaty and covered in cream cheese. Now, there was one perk of the job, and I can't even say perk because it shouldn't be a luxury, but there was an aux cord that our boss would let us control the music with. From his iPod, from 2008, and we could only use the Pandora app. But before I continue, let me describe my boss. He was a psychopath. Picture a ginger guy in his 40s, huge, burly man with a scraggly beard, super bad temper, constantly yelling at us at the wee hours of the morning. Just an asshole, to say the least. So we'd play our top hits on Pandora, and we use his old iPod from 2008. One day, work was kind of slow, so my coworkers and I were chilling in the back, and I decide to be nosy and go through the iPod. So I press on the photo album, and I start looking through his photos. I come across a picture of his family, his golden lab. I see a picture of the ocean. I find a picture of his sweet little 3-year-old daughter. And as I swipe from that photo, I came across a photo that still lives rent-free in my head. Excuse my language, but a dick pic? We see his dick, my boss's dick, his private part, flaccid, pale, ginger bush, wrinkly, small. You get the picture. Of course, I ran to every coworker in the kitchen. I'm screaming. We're zooming into the picture. Everyone is very disturbed. But it gets worse. As we keep staring at this photo and voluntarily burning our eyes, we notice something and start putting the pieces together. I see his crusty New Balance black sneakers covered in flour. I then see that he's standing on the very floor we're standing on in the kitchen. I take a closer look and notice that the table where they roll out the bagels and dough is right behind him. You can literally see the dough. Needless to say, I quit the next day along with half the staff, but I think the moral of the story is that you probably shouldn't take nudes at your workplace, but most importantly, don't let college kids have access to your things.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one All-Star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
All right, so I've settled up with Cornhub and all is right with the world. So let's bust open this next piece of fan mail. All right. Dear Will McFadden, it is I, President Barack Obama. What? I'm sorry, but what the fuck? What just... Oh, my body, I can't... Oh, I can't breathe right now. What the fuck is happening? Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Is this... Who did this? Who did this? Is this a joke? Mom, did you send me a fake letter from Barack Obama? Okay. Okay, the signature actually looks real. And hold on. Let me just smudge it. It's smudged. The ink smudged. This might be real. Oh my God. Okay, hold on one second. Dear Will, it is I, President Barack Obama, and I am writing to you today to say that I love your podcast. It is funny and smart, and I appreciate your will to try to maintain a positive attitude in your sometimes sad and sometimes very depressing life. Keep your head up. Sincerely, President Barack Obama. Guys, I think this is real. Oh my God, I gotta write him back. Maybe he wants to come on the pod. I wonder if he's got any good stories to tell. Or maybe he wants to come over for dinner. Maybe a little tit-tot casserole dinner. Oh my God, I have so many questions. I gotta go get a paper bag and breathe in it. Here's another story from Josh Berkowitz about the single longest day of his life.
Okay, so this is the story about the longest day of my entire life, April 27th, 2018. The significance of that date is the day that Avengers Infinity War came out. It was also the day of my grad bash of my high school graduation at Universal Orlando. Now, this day started at 6 o'clock in the morning when I woke up and I wore my outfit that I was ready to go to Universal with, to school. I filled my car up with gas and I went to school. And then at around lunchtime, if you were going to Grad Bash, then you got to leave at lunch to go home and prepare. But I did not have time to do that because I took that lunch period to go watch the 11:30 showing of Avengers Infinity War because I was not waiting another day to see this movie. So I got myself to the movie theater promptly at 11:30 and sat down and watched the movie. Saw Thanos snap his fingers and all of humanity dissipated. Now, I leave the theater and outside it is gray and black and it looks like it is about to hurricane. And I'm like, okay, that's not creepy at all considering I just saw all of humanity, or half of humanity, die at one snap of a fingers. So I get in my car, put on the radio, and there's a tornado warning. And I think I am about to perish. I am freaking out in my car that I am going to dissipate and my family will never see me again from the Titan Thanos. So I drive to school, ready to go to Grad Bash. And because it is a tornado warning, all of us waiting for Grad Bash have to wait outside in a tornado warning when it is pouring rain. So because we are waiting outside in the pouring rain during a tornado warning, the carpool line for all of the students to leave school so our buses for Grad Bash can come in the school was delayed about an hour. So we are waiting and standing outside for an hour, waiting for this tornado warning to go away so the buses can come and pick us up and take us to Universal. Now, as this is happening, I am freaking out. The lake behind our school is rumbling and starting to spiral, and I think Thanos is gonna appear right in the middle of it, and I start freaking out. And people have to calm me down, saying, "Josh, it's okay, you're not gonna die today." And lo and behold, I didn't. The buses came after all of the parents picked up their students, after all the students got on the buses, our buses came, and we started our trip to Universal for Grad Bash. Now, we drive about 30 to 45 minutes, and after about that time, it's a two-hour trip from Boca Raton, Florida, where my high school is, to Orlando, Florida, where Universal is. So about 30 minutes into it, we pull over on the side of the road. Now, a fleet of four motor coaches does not pull over to the side of the road unless there is a dire emergency. So, after 5 minutes being pulled on the side of the road, we don't know why. 10 minutes, we don't know why. 20 minutes, we don't know why. 30 minutes becomes an hour. And after an hour of sitting here with no reason, I am freaking out in my seat. I just saw 3 hours ago my childhood heroes die at the snap of a finger, and I think I'm next. All these things are going wrong, and I am freaking out. Football players who were sitting on the front of the bus had to come to the back of the bus where I was sitting and hold me down and tell me that I'm all right, because I am screaming that I think the Titan Thanos is gonna kill me. And so eventually, after 2 hours of sitting there, the bus starts to move, and we learn that one of the buses died. It literally died on the side of the road, and we were waiting for it. But after 2 hours, our bus decided to move on out. Now, Grad Bash starts at around 6 o'clock for most people. But we didn't get to Universal until 10:30 at night, and Grad Bash only ends at 1. So we get to the gate of the park at 10:30 at night. And because we were so late, no one was there to scan our tickets to go in. So we had, because all of us ran, we were not missing Grad Bash at all. So we all booked it to the front gate, but none of the teachers booked it. They were just doing a stroll. So we had to go to guest services and explain to them what happened. And they were like, "We don't believe you. Go get your teacher and tell him to come." So we had to wait about 10 to 15 minutes for one of the slow-ass teachers to mosey on their way from the parking lot to the front gate of the park. And so eventually they do, and lo and behold, we enjoy our 2.5 hours of grad bash. Maybe short, but whatever. So when grad bash ends, or actually, this is one part that I forgot. During grad bash, some of the people in our group only got to experience one ride. Some of the group went on the ride Skull Island Reign of Kong in Islands of Adventure, and that was their first ride, and it broke down. They were stuck on the ride for about an hour. They were stuck on it. No one got them off for about an hour, and that was the only thing they got to experience and really had no time for anything else. So that was one person's experience. Because I know the theme park so well, I did it smart and got to go on rides that I knew were going to be short wait times, and I actually did a lot that evening. I was pretty surprised. So finally, when grad bash is over, all of the thousands of high school students and teachers go to the buses to go home. And because we were so late, our bus was not parked in the bus area. It had to park all the way across the street. So we had to wait for the bus to come all the way back to the parking lot when all the other buses left with their students to go home. So we wait an hour. We wait 2 hours. Our bus still doesn't come. It is now 3 in the morning at Universal, and the only people who were there are the cleaning crew and the cops who are standing with our school, wondering and trying to find our bus. It turns out where the buses were parked, they broke down. So the same thing that happened to one of the buses, the other buses that were taking us home broke down. So the bus company had to find another bus. They were unsuccessful. They were so unsuccessful that Universal said, fuck it, we do not want these high school students sleeping in our parking garage. So Universal themselves purchased motor coaches for us to be taken back to school. Finally, the new buses take us to our old motor coach to collect our belongings, and we finally mosey our way home at around 3:30 in the morning. We finally get back to school at around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and my dad picks me up, and I'm ready to go to sleep. And I fall asleep in the car. I wake up, and we're in the middle of nowhere. And I ask my dad, where are we? He's like, oh, we're driving to your new college to visit it. And I was furious. All I wanted to do was go to sleep, but now I have to put on a smile on my face to my new college. And so I toured my new college. Everything was wonderful. And I finally got home that evening and I slept 12 hours. And that is the longest day of my entire life.
Okay, Fable Babies, I've got one last piece of fan mail to open, but honestly, I have no idea how it's going to top the last one. I mean, official letter from POTUS. Whew. Okay, well, let's just get into it. Let's see what we got here. Okay. It's kind of squishy. Looks like we got some sort of a bag in here, a plastic. Oh, yep, that's dog shit. That is a 100% dog shit. There's a note, too. It says, here's my rating and review of your pood cast. Love, Sheila. You know what? At least she's listening. A stream's a stream, you know what I'm saying? Wow, well, you know, today has been a real roller coaster of emotions for me. Wrapping up the second season of the podcast, renewing my Cornhub subscription, getting a letter from President Barack Obama. Like, really? I can't believe it. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty happy, and I hope you guys are feeling it too. Onward, and keep an ear out for season 3, coming soon. Well, that does it for season 2 of the Storytime Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to not only the storytellers from today's listener episode, but to everyone who told a tale on this season of Storytime. Thank you so much for sharing. We couldn't have done it without you. And since I've got you here, do you want to be on an episode of Storytime? If you have a great story to tell, record yourself telling your story and send it to storytime@collab.inc or call the Storytime hotline and leave us a message. That's right. We have a hotline now. Give us a call at 323-741-1873. I just made that up. And we'll share our favorites on an upcoming listener episode. Also, make sure to say that you're an official Fable Baby. Oh, you're still listening. Cool, cool, cool. Well, if you've gotten this deep into the episode, you might as well rate it, review it, and share it with a friend. Or an enemy. Makes no difference to me as long as I get those sweet, sweet streams. Storytime is produced by iHeartRadio and Collab. Executive producers Eric Jacks, Song King, and Will McFadden. Hosted by Will McFadden. Produced by Jessica Eccles, Jason Shapiro, Daniela Mora, and Jenny Ulmer. Written by Jenny Ulmer. Sound design by Tony Maddox. Original score by Scott Simons. Cover art by John Kusagaya. Animation by Bella Bouchon.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.